This week's episode is brought to you by our patrons on Patreon. If you'd like to learn more about what our patrons get up to, swing on by patreon.com/doctor and lawyer to see how you can become a patron today. Now, let's get on with the show.
Clagsby Hill, we had a very long, made Norwegian-style sledging.
No, not bad.
We battled down, we hit what not to be...
Go and find her.
Where are you going, Master? For a drink.
Okay, you guys want anything else?
3 butter beers and some ginger and lime, please. 6 shots of giggle water.
Eat Earl Grey hot.
This snake juice is basically rat poison.
Spent my whole life right here in Lackawanna County.
This drink, I like it.
I know, it's great, right?
Another!
Well, welcome back, everybody. We got a full house.
Hi, everybody.
Wow, so enthusiastic to be here. No one said a word. William sneezing, that's
sorry.
Why.
Sorry.
I waved.
And Dallas waved in an audio medium.
Yeah, Dallas giggled.
I thought it was a very loud wave. Did you not hear my wrist crackling whenever
I waved? Technically, when I waved, the air from the wave should have hit the microphone and you picked that up.
Is that not how it works?
Honestly, this is a decompression episode because we are all exhausted from 7 hours. Of non-stop recording.
That's 7 hours of content we put out. That's like 10 hours of recording plus another 40 hours of editing.
Listen, we don't do editing. We are one take. We are one take podcasters right now.
Please. Oh my goodness. No, we need this episode. And I really have loved our March Madness. A special thank you to all of our listeners, new and old. You all have been so engaged with this series. And I know that we're not true sports people, but it kind of makes me want to sport some more. Like the community, the rah-rah, the anger over James and the friggin' giant peach. Like a common enemy. James and the giant peach is like Duke men's basketball. Like everyone hates them. Everyone hates James and the Giant Peach, and it's just like, yes, a unifying force.
James and the Giant Peach versus Lincoln is like Duke's basketball meets the Yankees.
Oh.
They're two completely different leagues, but they're both hated.
Right. So William has compiled trivia for us.
Yes.
Based on the movies in our bracket. I'm going to be honest with you guys. My brain is so fried after these 3,000 hours.
Oh, it went up.
Oh. Right. The 7 trillion gazillion hours. Is that high enough?
Yes.
I'm genuinely scared if I'm going to remember anything about my favorite movies. You're going to be like, all right, Alex, your question is who directed Interstellar? And I'm going to be like, was it Michael Bay? Was it James Cameron?
It would have been a better movie if it was directed by Michael Bay.
You take that back. Ooh. You take that back. All right, William, lay the rules on us, because the last time we did trivia, it was a team up against you.
Yeah.
I believe it's every man for himself this round, correct?
Yes, this is every man for himself.
Dallas, since we'll make an alliance.
Let's do it. Teams.
The winner gets my remaining supply of Blackberry LA.
That's already mine. It's already mine. You can't give away my gift.
So some of these questions are multiple choice. I think one of them may be just a open response
essay.
Well, yes, I need your,
you have a 30 minute SAT.
What was it? Open response. Was that what we had to do in elementary school?
Open-ended responses.
I'm in full quiz mode because I went back to college and then took my exam to get my drone pilot's test from our own resident professor, and I passed. And to celebrate, I'm like, I'm going to write a quiz.
Yeah, I hear the drone professor was a really rugged, good-looking guy.
Did you take it again with somebody else? Oh, my gosh.
I heard he droned on and on.
That's true.
Ooh, I loved it.
Well, I'm ready. If you guys are ready. Well, I don't think you're ready.
Doctor, a lawyer, a pilot, and a professor walk into a bar, and it's trivia night.
All right, guys, I've got 16 questions that took me way longer than I care to admit to write. But these are questions that pertain to the movies in the bracket, not necessarily the discussion about the movies in the bracket, but this is about the movies and the actors in those movies. And that's where this trivia comes from. Question number one, in the Feel Good Conference, which movie was not nominated for an Oscar? Was it Knives Out, James and the Giant Peach, Order of the Phoenix, or The Sorcerer's Stone? Which one was not nominated for an Oscar? Now, say what you will about the Oscars. Sometimes they get it right. I feel like this year they nailed it with Everything Everywhere All at Once. Sometimes...
My dad would beg to differ on that one. I showed him that, and he was like, I don't understand the hot dog fingers, but it made me laugh.
Everyone sent in their answers.
So my rationale is fairly straightforward. I'm like fairly certain James and the Giant Peach got like music or original song or something absurd. Maybe it was an animation. I'm fairly certain it had an Oscar nom. There's no way on God's green earth that The Sorcerer's Stone didn't get. Knives Out may have been nominated for Best Cinematography because Steve Yedlin, who is the cinematographer on it, he does crazy work. So I'm guessing Order of the Phoenix.
Okay.
I assumed that Order of the Phoenix and both the Harry Potter versions got Oscars, at least in like the visual effects category.
I thought about it, but I thought by Order of the Phoenix, the Pottermania in the Academy may have waned.
Knives Out, Rian Johnson is so artsy enough that I was thinking, yes, cinematography. And I remember James having like a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that just did not seem...
I love this so much.
A possibility. So I went with James, even though I could see the music getting it.
Okay.
I don't have a clue. So I decided that the way I was going to look at this was there's two Harry Potter movies. There's no way he picked a thing that both of those would be in. And I feel like they had more time after the first one to get things right. So I picked Sorcerer's Stone. That was one of them, right?
There's no way John Williams didn't get an Oscar for that.
I did ACT rules where I just looked at the answers and went backwards.
And you picked C.
Yes, C.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. I got some of the answers right on the drone test, but like one of these things is not like the other.
That's how
the
I taught it.
The correct answer is... The Order of the Phoenix.
Ah,
yeah. Okay.
Knives Out was nominated actually for Best Original Screenplay.
There we go.
Sorcerer's Stone and James and the Giant Peach were both for music and production design, some combination of that. The Order of the Phoenix, it was nominated and won a couple BAFTA awards, but was not nominated for an Academy Award.
Okay. Oh.
I feel proud of that. I was like, I know that. I didn't like James and the Giant Peach, but I knew a weirdo at the Academy sure did, so.
Okay, question number two. There were several matchups that pitted movies against each other that were surprisingly similar. Two of which come to mind are The Empire Strikes Back and Chicken Run, as well as The Dark Knight and Lincoln. Very, very similar movies. Between Empire Strikes Back, Chicken Run, The Dark Knight, and Lincoln, which movie did not feature a prominent Wizarding World actor?
Oh.
Ooh.
Did not feature a prominent Wizarding World actor.
I love how everything is Wizarding World related for you.
I almost made every single question related to Harry Potter, but I promise they're not. I was like, this is my time. This is my time. They are not all related to Harry Potter, I promise. Everyone has locked in their answers.
I love how dramatic that is.
It's going to sound even better with a sound effect on it. Dallas, lead off for us.
Gotcha. So I have watched Wizarding World movies exactly one time. I feel very unprepared for this. I should have studied for this ACT more. I did study more for this than the real ACT, so I guess I'm at that advantage. I don't know who the people are in that movie.
What's your guess? So
I'm going to guess Empire Strikes Back, because that's an old-timey movie.
I guess the same, because I know for a fact The Dark Knight has Gary Oldman, mm-hmm. who is Commissioner Gordon, and he plays Sirius Black.
Yes.
I know that Chicken Run has the actress who plays Rita Skeeter. How I know this, I don't know. And Timothy Spall, who plays Rat Boy.
Peter Pettigrew.
I just assumed since it was a British film that there was an act.
There's 10 actors that just are on rotation through all these.
That's why I hit that guess who tile down whenever.
But I started thinking back through Lincoln, and even though it's like star studded,
yeah,
I couldn't think of anybody who was in both. Whereas with Empire, I thought, that's a trick question. There was a lot of British actors in that, but I don't know anyone who was then in Harry Potter. So I went Empire.
Cody,
I'm an idiot.
So, Cody said Empire as well.
Who is it?
Julian Glover, Aragog.
Julian Glover plays General Veers in The Empire Strikes Back. He also was in The Last Crusade.
I don't know who that is.
He was the commander of the AT-AT battalion on Hoth.
Oh. 6 degrees of Daniel Radcliffe. I even brought that up.
That's why I put this in here. Cody brought up that he was also in The Last Crusade.
Oh.
And he is the voice of Aragog. So Julian Glover is in Empire Strikes Back, the voice of Aragog.
Aragog's the big spider.
The big spider, yes.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask the same question.
So it'd have to be Lincoln.
Lincoln, based on my extensive research, and my daughter would tell you, Daddy didn't play with me at all today. He was just on his computer.
I have to find a connection to Harry Potter somehow.
Lincoln featured Jared Harris, the son of the late Richard Harris, who played Dumbledore in The First Sorcerer's Stone. But no prominent Wizarding World actor was in Lincoln. So the correct answer is Lincoln, and nobody got that one.
Wow, that was a great question. I love that.
It was.
Thank you.
I said Empire because I thought it was a red herring since Warwick Davis was in Return of the Jedi.
Ah.
And he's a prominent actor. I mean, John Williams transcends them both.
I didn't get a point.
No.
I'm still up 1-0 on the rest of these goobers.
Yes.
But
that's a low bar, sir.
If you set the bar low, Dallas, it's easier to go over it, okay?
That's what I'm hoping.
And just for the record, Julian Glover, Danny Glover, and Donald Glover, all unrelated.
Close. Very close there, sir. Anyways, are you guys ready for... Are you ready for question number 3?
I suppose.
I'm as ready as I was for the other two.
This is not multiple choice. You have to write out the word and send it to me.
Oh, boy.
What franchise do actors from all of these titles appear in? There is one unifying franchise for actors from these titles. Okay? The Sorcerer's Stone, Minority Report, Hercules, and Clue. There is an actor in all of these movies, and all of those actors have been in one thing together. Sorcerer's Stone, Minority Report, Hercules, and Clue. This is a franchise that was not on our bracket, but all of these movies have actors that have been in that one franchise. The answers have been locked in. Now, I will list off the actors. Leslie Ann Warren from Clue. Keith David from Hercules. Jim Rash from Minority Report. And Luke Youngblood from The Sorcerer's Stone.
No! Oh, I know then. Too late. I'm locked in.
I
know my
surprised.
Answer.
Right.
I know the answer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. What movie was Jim Rash in?
Minority Report.
What? Where?
Everyone has locked in their choice. Dallas has said Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's a great guess.
Which was a great guess. Cody has said Doctor Who. Every British actor. Again, great guess. Alex, the Mission Impossible franchise.
But is the answer Community?
It is Community.
Oh
yes.
My gosh. What roles did they play?
Leslie Ann Warren, Britta's mom.
Oh, yeah.
And Britta's dad is in Clue, too.
And Britta's dad, too, but I went with Leslie Ann Warren. Keith David played Apollo in Hercules. Jim Rash was a technician in the department in Minority Report. And Luke Youngblood, Lee Jordan, was in Community.
It would have helped if I knew half of those people's real names.
As Alex has said... for the memes that he sends us on Instagram, I have carefully curated these questions to this audience.
I'm going to have to go rewatch this movie now to find Jim Rash. It's a great excuse to watch a great movie. I'm right. Like, does he play one of the twins, or is he like Dina Lean? I'm here to stop you from doing a crime, Dina Lean.
In all of his Jim Rashness.
Oh, it's a shame that this is an audio media because the finger wag up in the air really sold the the Dean.
You can't say right? It without doing that. It channels it through your body like a lightning.
Because I'm a peanut bar, and I'm here to say you won't do a crime today.
I listen to that clip at least once a month for no reason that I can think of.
I just saw the clip today of him walking in half in the black and white makeup. I don't know why I thought this would work. I have to go to the bank later. No. Wow.
Get it together,
brilliant,
Dean.
William. You are 3 for 3 right now.
Well, thank you, sir.
I still feel stupid as a Community super fan. I had no idea Jim Rash was
Doctor
in Minority
Who,
Report.
Doctor Who is always a safe bet in a question like that because every British actor is in Doctor Who.
They vacuumed up so many random people. Yeah. Right.
Julian Glover was in Doctor Who, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and now Game of Thrones. Like,
and
the
Harry
man's
Potter.
Been around.
Yeah. All right. Are you guys ready to move on to question number 4?
Sir, yes, sir.
Yep.
What? Okay, think of roles in movies that may rotate. What rotating movie position unifies all of these franchises?
Okay.
Tenet, James and the Giant Peach, Edge of Tomorrow, and Chicken Run. Specifically in that order, I will give you that hint. Tenet, James and the Giant Peach, Edge of Tomorrow, and Chicken Run.
So a rotating movie role.
So like a behind the scenes role?
Are you talking not a crew? You were talking like a character that is passed down from actor to actor?
No, not in the sense that this male actor is playing James Bond and then this other male actor has come in and is playing James Bond. So it could be like a job title that's in a movie that different actors have obtained that job.
I've got it.
Lock in your answers. Tenet, James and the Giant Peach, Edge of Tomorrow, and Chicken Run.
I'm so proud. And also somehow screw you, William.
What? Why? Oh, wait,
you see my answer.
I see the preview of the answer.
I don't have a clue. I don't know.
The answers are now locked in. So, I will tell you what the actors and actresses are in the correct order. Are you ready? Tenet. 1, Kenneth Branagh.
Yep.
James and the Giant Peach. 1, David Thewlis.
Yep.
Edge of Tomorrow. 1, Brendan Gleeson.
Yes.
And Chicken Run. 1, Imelda Staunton.
Yes.
It is the defense against the dark arts professor at Hogwarts.
Oh. Yes. Boom, 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 boom.
Okay. Now I get it. I did not understand the question. You can tell that by my answer.
I said colonel because I was like military position in each of those movies.
I could see that.
See, that's what I was going to, but I picked the dumbest.
Dallas said the mailman.
I said mailman. I was like, maybe there's a mailman in all those. I don't.
I didn't even know who was in James and the Giant Peach.
I was thinking the grasshopper was a colonel. Like, he was an old British colonel.
Just because he wears a vest and he plays the violin. He is not military. He's too posh for military.
It's British military. They do things like that.
That's true. Okay. Question number five.
Oh, boy.
Now, these, they're not, I promise, they're not all going to be Harry Potter related. There are several, but they're not all going to be Harry Potter related.
So see, I've already brought in Tenet and James and the Giant Peach. They're not Harry Potter related at all.
<You're> right? Which actor holds the record for the most movie appearances in our bracket?
Ooh.
Ooh. This is multiple choice. Is it?
Okay, thank God.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Michael Caine, Jeff Goldblum, or Ralph Fiennes?
How long do we have to figure this out? Am I allowed to actually like go through it in my head, or do I have
to lock in your answer and then go through it out loud?
My head doesn't have a lot of stuff in it. It's one of those I can see everything in my head at a glance. It's all on one table. My mind palace is very empty. It's got a table and a bathroom, and the table's in the bathroom, which is kind of weird. Wow, they put way more thought into this than I did. I thought more about, I said table and toilet, and I was like, you know what would be a good invention? The toilet table, which is kind of like a swing out table at like those old timey desks, toilet.
That you fold up and it kind of like sheathes down beside you, like you're spinning a gun down into your holster. Oh, interesting. It was split. So everyone gave a different answer. So what are you thinking?
I started counting through, and I could figure out that Ralph Fiennes was in 4. However, Michael Caine was in at least 5, I think. There's Inception, Interstellar, The Dark Knight.
Tenet.
Thought I had 5 for him.
Okay, Cody?
I said Ralph Fiennes, because I got up to 4. I only counted 3 for Michael Caine, but
What were your 4 for Ralph Fiennes?
Wallace and Grumman and the Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
Yes.
The Prince of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Because he was not in the Sorcerer's Stone.
I remember we had like a full, like, Ralph Fiennes as a villain bracket.
We needed one more to have a Ralph Fiennes as a movie bracket. There's a villain bracket.
Is he only in 3?
Dallas? You said Jeff Goldblum.
I did.
Independence Day. He's in Jurassic Park.
Prince of Egypt.
I remember we said that, and we said his name a lot on movies that I did not know he was in. So that's why I said Jeff. And I just sent Jeff. I didn't say Jeff Goldblum.
the correct answer is Mr. Michael Caine.
Michael Caine!
Oh,
because he's in every movie that Christopher Nolan does, and there's 4 Christopher Nolan movies in our bracket. Jeff Goldblum was in The Prince of Egypt, was in Independence Day and Jurassic Park, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt was in Knives Out. He was in Lincoln.
Yeah.
And he was also... Oh, I had them all written out. I think he was in one more. And Ralph Fiennes was in The Prince of Egypt, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, and Wallace and Gromit Curse of the Were-Rabbit. So the answer is Mr. Michael Caine.
Yeah.
I thought you meant Dean Caine. So sorry.
Right? Is that Dean Caine?
if Casino Royale instead of Goldfinger, it would have been different. But no, sorry.
Yes. So I had to check my sources a lot because we had a Bond movie and he does play M in the most recent Bond movies.
Yeah.
Question number 6. Of the sequels that are in our bracket, which sequel was the highest box office adjusted for inflation? So which of our sequels made the most money? Was it Goldfinger, The Last Crusade, The Dark Knight, The Empire Strikes Back, or The Order of the Phoenix?
Adjusted for inflation, this is cruel.
Adjusted for inflation, yes.
I've already given my answer because everything's already on the toilet table. I don't have any.
Gentlemen, lock in your answers.
I pop locked and dropped my answer.
Yeah, you did.
30 seconds ago.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so Dallas has said The Empire Strikes Back. Alex has said The Empire Strikes Back. Cody has said Goldfinger.
Really? Interesting.
Because I remember The Empire Strikes Back not making as much money as the original Star Wars.
And really?
Like, it was a success, but not like the, as huge as you would think.
Didn't capture the magic of the first one? Yeah.
Wow.
Gentlemen, you are all incorrect.
What was it?
The highest grossing movie adjusted for inflation was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Get out.
That was going to be my second.
Adjusted for inflation, that movie made $1.069 billion.
That's what? Almost as much as Titanic.
The Dark Knight made $1.006 billion. Coming in third place was Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Wow.
Fourth place was Empire Strikes Back.
Holy smokes.
And at $823 million. And then fifth place was Goldfinger at $459 million, adjusted for inflation.
Wow.
Right?
Well, yeah.
Some of these answers blew me away. Well, there was your little reprieve from Harry Potter. Now we're back. So, question number seven.
William is getting his moment since all of his choices were beat.
All of my choices were eliminated.
He's bringing order back to the podcast.
Perfectly balanced, as everything should be.
Question number seven. It has been recounted on multiple occasions that the Dead Poets Society's own Robin Williams petitioned Christopher Columbus to play the role of Hagrid, but was turned down due to him not being British.
Mm-hmm.
Which other actor in our bracket auditioned for but did not get a role in Harry Potter? And I will give you the actors and I will give you the role that they auditioned for. Patrick Stewart for the role of Albus Dumbledore. Henry Cavill for the role of Cedric Diggory. Michael Caine for the role of Garrick Ollivander. And Daniel Craig for the role of Lucius Malfoy. Give me the one that is correct. Gentlemen, the answers have been locked in. Patrick Stewart has lamented in recent interviews at not being given the opportunity to audition for a role in Harry Potter. Michael Caine probably wouldn't go anywhere near Harry Potter with a 10-foot pole. Daniel Craig did not audition for the role of Lucius Malfoy. It was, in fact, one Henry Cavill who auditioned for the role of Cedric Diggory.
Yeah, I knew that one.
He was also fan favorite to go up for the role of Edward Cullen, but was considered too old whenever that role came around and lost out on that role to one Robert Pattinson.
Henry Cavill is like the guy who's second place in every role.
I know. Right?
He got to be Superman and then they're like, sorry, bud. And then he's like, all right, that's fine. At least I get to be Geralt in The Witcher. And they're like, no, you like this role too much. Get out.
He was second place in Superman Returns. He was second place to Daniel Craig's Bond. He was second place to Cedric Diggory.
And second place to Cedric Diggory.
Yeah, he's like, second place to Bond. And they're like, you know what? We should cast him in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. That's like Bond.
Yeah, exactly. That's his audition tape for Bond. I'm kind of calling that. I think he's probably going to get the next Bond.
What did Patrick Stewart want to play?
He just wanted to be in it.
Oh.
Like, he was actually interviewed on Stephen Colbert. They'd asked about the prominent franchise that seemed to swallow up all British actors, and he said, I would have loved to have been given the opportunity to audition.
I could just picture like Graham Norton sitting there. He's like, all right, Patrick, tell me, why weren't you in Harry Potter? And then Patrick, well, I was never given the opportunity. Very sad. I can't do a good Patrick Stewart or a Graham Norton. But Graham Norton seems like the kind of guy who would pry and poke.
You tried your hardest, though.
You did.
And just like Henry Cavill, it wasn't good enough.
I knew the Patrick Stewart one was wrong because Ian McKellen was actually asked to be Dumbledore.
Yes. So after Richard Harris passed away, they offered the role to Ian McKellen. But due to political views that were not shared between the late Richard Harris and one Ian McKellen, he did not want to follow that up because he did not want to be associated with those views. Also, he did not want to be everyone's resident gray-haired wizard. So, in preparation for this, there were a lot of other interesting stories. Apparently, Kate Winslet was offered the role through her agent of the Grey Lady, the ghost in The Deathly Hallows.
Kind of her a agent, step down right
her
there.
Her agent turned it down without even telling her. And when she found out, she was livid because she wanted the role.
Oh, no.
Really?
Yeah. Tilda Swinton was offered, here, it is yours if you want it, the role of Professor Sybil Trelawney. But she turned it down because she fundamentally disagrees with the concept of boarding schools.
Oh, wow.
Tilda Swinton, you strange, magnificent woman, right. You.
Right. Tilda Swinton is one of those actresses that I just want to watch what happens whenever she's on screen.
She terrifies me in the best of ways. That's not the first time I've said that. Tilda, if you're listening, I love you and everything Wes Anderson, but everything else, you terrify me.
Question number 8. Kenneth Branagh commanded the screen as the villainous satyr in Christopher Nolan's Tenet. Many would argue that this pales in comparison to his Oscar-worthy turn as Gilderoy Lockhart, where he also, in character, asked several trivia questions, which include, what is Gilderoy Lockhart's greatest ambition? Is it to have a hall named after him at St. Mungo's Hospital for Magical Maladies and Injuries, to market his own line of hair care products, to become the 6-time winner of Which Weekly's Most Charming Smile Award, or to become the chief mugwump of the Wizengamot? What is Gilderoy Lockhart's greatest ambition?
Yeah, guys, he did find a way to make it all about Harry Potter. I don't know if I should be more impressed or less impressed, so I'm just going to go with more impressed. Good job.
I locked my answer in, but I had to designate a letter because I can't remember any of what you just said.
I am neutrally pressed.
Neutrally pressed. Well, if you would have watched the extended edition of The Chamber of Secrets, that entire scene plays out where he does go over the quiz questions from his first day teaching at Hogwarts, where he asks nothing but questions about himself, to which he said, "What is Gilderoy Lockhart's greatest ambition?" Only Miss Hermione Granger has gotten this. She knew that my greatest ambition was to rid the world of evil and to market my own line of hair care products. Dallas and Cody.
I got it right.
I knew that one because I am currently reading Chamber of Secrets, preparing for...
Oh, you dirty dog. Well, there goes a trivia question that you can use for... next year's
I
magic
guess that
month.
One because I forgot who he was until you started giving the answers.
You're like, who is this conceited, pompous, arrogant idiot? Okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah, I got you now.
Cody, you can't use this one either because question number 9, what is Gilderoy Lockhart's favorite color?
Seriously?
Yes, that's the last one. I promise.
Okay.
Is there multiple choice?
Is it? Yes.
Oh, yes.
Is it periwinkle? Is it sea foam? Is it lilac, coral, or wisteria?
The best part is I answered the question before he even gave the answers.
I know.
But
Alex, don't. You got it right.
Did I?
You did. Gilderoy Lockhart's favorite color is lilac. Hardly any of you knew that my favorite color was lilac.
Dallas is having a seizure over here. He's
my
getting
chair
up,
was
tearing.
Doing a thing, and I couldn't pay attention to the... That's why I got it wrong, is because of my chair.
Are you ready for question number 10?
Yes.
I don't know. Is it Harry Potter related?
No, it isn't. No, it's not. But question number 10. Which of the following phrases... is an anagram for an actual movie in our bracket.
Still managed to bring in witchcraft.
Pames and the giant Jeep. Oh, I wonder which movie it is.
Isn't that like that personality test that all of the hipster Christian ladies are into?
It's an Enneagram.
The Enneagram?
No, those are those little bears that you can dip in milk and eat. No, wait,
those are honey grams.
Oh, I haven't even read the answers yet. It's multiple choice. Okay. which Which of the following phrases is an anagram for an actual movie in our bracket? Is it Nessie's deranged rug? Is it Yeti's adopted Cheetos? Is it Sasquatch halitosis? Or is it Leprechaun's oily shin?
I wish these were movies in our bracket.
I'm now going to write them in the air like Tom Riddle.
Use your wand to rearrange them.
For the sake of our father, I know which one I'm picking, but I don't think it's correct.
I'm Logan Murphy, and I got a bad case of Sasquatch halitosis. It's from standing around campfires and surveying land for too long.
The answers have been locked in.
Oh, excellent.
Cody says Sasquatch halitosis. That is incorrect, sir. Dallas said Leprechaun's oily shin. That is incorrect, sir. Alex has said Yeti's adopted Cheetos.
Come on.
Which rearranges to the Dead Poets Society.
Yes, sir.
What? I think when they were working on it, that was the code that they used to reference it.
Speaking of, question number 11. Which of these titles was not a working title for a movie in our bracket?
Dallas called the next question. Oh. Good job.
Dallas's divination skills are spot on.
Once an hour, I can see 5 seconds into the future. It's a very specific superpower that doesn't come up a lot, but sometimes here we are.
Okay, which of these titles was not a working title for a movie in our bracket? Was it Rory's First Kiss? Was it Blue Harvest? Was it Flora's Letter? Or Trash Planet? One of these was not a working title for a movie in our bracket.
See, the thing about working titles is that they're intentionally not related to the movie at all. So you're kind of like, oh, wow, they're recording Blue Harvest down the road, guys. I don't care. But if you said, oh, they're recording The Dark Knight, everybody's on the street trying to watch. So, like, yeah, that's the point.
Yeah.
So I feel, I don't know.
The answers have been locked in. Alex, you said Flora's Letter, which was the working title for Interstellar.
Ooh. Wow.
Dallas, you said
irony there that I picked the one for the movie that I love the most.
Yeah. Dallas, you said the one about kissing. Rory's First Kiss.
That's the one.
Which was the working title for The Dark Knight.
Really?
Nobody picked Trash Planet, which, surprisingly enough, or not surprisingly enough, was the working title for WALL-E.
That makes sense.
Blue Harvest, Cody, adding a point to his score, was the working title for Return of the Jedi. Yes. The Family Guy parody episode of Star Wars was actually titled Blue Harvest in homage to the working title.
So what was the actual answer?
Blue Harvest.
Blue Harvest.
Because it was for Return the answer. Of the Jedi and not Empire Strikes Back.
Return of the Jedi was not in our bracket. Empire Strikes Back was.
You sneaky dog.
I knew that because the documentary I watched that made me a George Lucas fanboy very much covered that.
Well, I figured there might be a Family Guy watcher in our midst, and I know there are some Star Wars fanatics in our midst.
I am a Family Guy YouTube Shorts watcher.
Okay. Okay,
there's a Star Wars zombie book called Red Harvest. I knew that, but it's trash, but that's all.
Yes, you and Kayla listened to that one together, didn't you?
We did, and that was,
you subjugated her to a Star Wars novel.
I know. I thought it was going to be good, but I was very wrong.
That's true love right there from Kayla.
Gentlemen, we are going into question 12. Question 12 of 16, and currently in the lead is Alex Christian with 6 points, Cody coming in second with 4, and Dallas coming in a respectable third with the points that he has.
I'm sorry, trivia master, could you tell us how many points he has? I think you just kind of went over that.
He has, for sure. Okay. So previously in the game, we have talked about franchises that have hoovered up actors. They've just sucked them all up into their contracts.
I'm keeping that, Dallas.
And we have also not talked about Marvel movies as of yet. As big of Marvel movie fans as we are, there was no Marvel movies that have made it onto our bracket.
Ooh.
Which Marvel movie, however, contains the most number of actors from movies in our actual bracket? And this is open response.
Oh, poop.
Which Marvel movie do you think contains the biggest swatch of actors from our bracket? Which non-Avengers movie? Outside of Endgame, outside of Age of Ultron, outside of the first Avengers, outside of Infinity War, which non-Avengers team-up movie contains the most number of actors from our bracket?
I don't like my guess, but I'm going to go with it.
Okay. Gentlemen, lock in your answers. Okay. Answers have been locked. Oh, Dallas.
Oh, no. Hold on. I'm not there yet. I don't know.
Answers have
there we go. I just picked one that I could remember.
Cody, I think you and I are probably in the same ballpark somehow.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, Cody is the only person who would appreciate the Thor franchise.
Oh, yeah, it's trash.
I actually didn't say Thor.
Because I was thinking it's Thor Ragnarok.
Because it has gold, but it has Goldblum.
I know, but I don't know, man.
And Cate Blanchett, but, I mean, what other movie is Cate Blanchett in our bracket?
I have no earthly idea. This is a great question, William.
These movies keep going to, like, I'm like, oh, they were in Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings was not on our bracket.
It wasn't.
I said Guardians 2.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
Yes, Cody said Guardians 2. Dallas said Winter Soldier.
I went for the Alien one where there was lots of cameos.
Oh, that's a good point. I thought it was either Thor the Dark World or Thor Ragnarok. Mainly because when Kenneth Branagh was around and then Taika Waititi came in, Taika Waititi brought in a bunch of characters that he works with. And that would bring in what we do in the shadows, but I don't know for certain. And then Jeff Goldblum, I knew for a fact. So that's where my logic was, but I don't have concrete evidence. And my brain is fried, so I can't say for sure.
And I said Guardians 2 for Kurt Russell because I was going to go with Guardians. And I was just like...
But what else is Kurt Russell in our...
Yeah, that's where I got locked up.
But that's the only part I liked about that movie was Kurt Russell's face on a planet. But also just the fact that you got all the Guardians characters and then more cameos in the second one, which is why I went for two.
Man, that's such a good question.
Neither of you are correct. However, Alex, you were the closest. The answer is Thor Love and Thunder.
That was going to be my second pick, for real. And I panicked at the end.
Six franchises, seven actors that I could count. Chris Hemsworth was in Star Trek 2009.
Yep.
Yes.
Christian Bale was in The Dark Knight.
As Gore. Oh my gosh.
Sam Neill, who plays the actor version of Odin on their stage play,
Jurassic Park.
And Matt Damon plays Loki.
Was in Interstellar. Chris Pratt is in that movie. He was in The Magnificent Seven.
Oh my gosh.
Taika Waititi was in What We Do in the Shadows, as was Johnny Brew, who played the first god that Gore butchered.
What you're saying is that Thor Love and Thunder should have been in this bracket.
I'm not saying those words.
No.
No. I'm saying that all of these quality actors...
In our darkest timeline bracket? Yes.
All of these quality actors were hoodwinked into starring in Thor Love and Thunder.
William, has your position on Thor Love and Thunder soured slightly?
No, my position on those two topics still stands very true. I appreciated the portrayal of an adopted father. I also appreciated the portrayal of someone who has battled with cancer being deemed a warrior for that battle. Outside of that, my position on the movie as a whole, yes, it has soured. Yes. A close second was actually Captain America the First Avenger.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Which starred the likes of Chris Evans, Samuel L. Jackson, Tommy Lee Jones, Neil McDonough, 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 no, McDonough, He was the one with the real big mustache that was in Captain America's. He was in Minority Report.
Yeah.
And the lighthouse keeper was David Bradley, one Mr. Argus Filch.
Well, there you go.
Wow, that was a nerdy deep cut reference.
I had to go back to Harry Potter. Listen, that was my little footnote.
So I feel like a little consolation of like, yes, I knew it was Thor somehow.
Yeah.
But I feel like a loser for picking the wrong Thor.
You didn't just take a step far enough. You were like, maybe Thor 2, Thor 3. No, I'm going to stop it for Thor 3. I'm like,
kind of just shows you our overall opinions of Phase 4, if we're honest.
I just wiped it from my memory.
Question 13 is one of my favorites. I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one. But Harry Potter does not make an appearance once in this question.
We'll see.
With that. Which actor, which of these actors or actresses did not appear in both animation and real life in our bracket? Was it John Ratzenberger, Keith David, Wayne Knight, or Sandra Bullock? Lock in your answers, please.
Or the choices again. I got really fixated on a few of them.
The question. Which actor or actress did not appear in both animation and real life in our movie bracket? John Ratzenberger, Keith David, Wayne Knight, Sandra Bullock. They had to be in both.
So I know two that are half wrong. I know one that's completely wrong. And I know one that I just don't have an answer for. So that was my process of elimination.
The answers have been locked in.
All right. So Sandy Bullock is in Gravity and she's in Prince of Egypt.
Yes.
I did not know that, actually.
Sandra Bullock plays Miriam in The Prince of Egypt. Yes.
I did not realize that. Okay.
What? Yeah. I knew something about Prince of Egypt that Cody did not know.
I am wrong. Okay.
So, spoilers, Cody got it wrong.
I know John Ratzenberger is in WALL-E.
Because he's in a Pixar movie.
It's a Pixar John Ratzenberger. I'm trying to think, is he in Clue? What is he? Is he in? I don't know. Like
that
that's
was
where
my
I
pick
had
because I couldn't think.
Keith
of.
David, Keith David is in Prince of Egypt. Is he not?
No, Keith David is not in The Prince of Egypt. You are probably thinking of Danny Glover.
Ah, Danny. Ooh, that's awkward. I even referenced Danny Glover earlier. I went Wayne Knight just because I'm like the only live action thing that I can think of Wayne Knight is literally Space Jam.
He's also in Jurassic Park.
Oh no, yeah, he was in Jurassic Park.
Oh my gosh, I'm an idiot.
He's Dennis
Jurassic
Nedry
Park with the yes. Shaving cream yeah. Can.
Dennis Nedry. Oh, I'm an idiot. He has a name. We honor him in this household. Actually, we dishonor him in this household.
How did his shaving cream can wind up in Dominion? Just putting that out there. Still don't understand that plot point.
Spoilers. But I haven't seen Dominion, and I'm
that's the kind of articles you put on the internet for clicks and engagement. Picard is facing that right now with all the Easter eggs there.
I have no earthly idea, so I went Wayne Knight.
Okay, Cody picked Cassandra Bullock, which we've already
Cassandra Bullock.
Cassandra Bullock. That's exactly what he wrote. Yes, and Dallas said John Ratzenberger. Gentlemen, you are all three incorrect.
No,
Keith David.
Keith David played Apollo in Hercules,
but not in any of the live action.
John Ratzenberger played Rebel Force Major Derlin in The Empire Strikes Back.
That's right. Oh.
Sandy Bullock played Miriam in The Prince of Egypt and Dr. Ryan Stone in The Gravity. And Wayne Knight played shaving cream character that I will let Dallas say the name again.
Dennis
because
Nedry.
Dennis Nedry.
Put some respect on his name.
He also played the shop owner who has the shop full of pots in Hercules that Hercules
really?
Destroys.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Now that you say it, I can see it now.
I feel stupider and smarter for this question. Thank you.
Oh, I like this one too. Question number 14. Which actor had the biggest time gap between their earliest and latest movie in our bracket? Was it Ethan Hawke, Sean Connery, one Mr. John Ratzenberger, or Morgan Freeman?
Oh, this is a great question.
Do you talk it out loud?
Yeah. Are we allowed to? You know what, guys? We're at the point.
Are we at the point?
We're at the point, Dallas. Yeah, Ethan Hawke is in Dead Poets Society.
I mean, as long as you don't like look up dates and throw out dates.
But I'm trying to think, what else was Ethan Hawke in our Magnificent Seven? Is that what he's in?
Yep.
Tony Hawk. That's 89 to 2015.
That's a big gap. Sean Connery, though, goes from
1964 to 89.
To the 80s with The Last Crusade.
It's 64 to 89. Or it's like, it's mid-60s to 89. The fact
that you know that off the top of your head is incredible.
I know Last Crusade at the top of my head, but...
I know none of these things.
Who are our other two? Who are our other two?
John Ratzenberger.
I have no idea.
And Morgan Freeman.
I know that that was helping a little bit the crowd, but I am going to lock in an answer.
Go for it.
I'm changing.
Was Sean Connery in Casablanca? That's the question.
That was Humphrey Bogart.
He was a little baby.
I think he was a grown man.
I know.
He's been a grown man his whole life.
Yeah, he came out that way.
He was 94 when he starred in Dr. No. I mean, he was like 117 when he was in The Last Crusade.
Right.
And he was 203 when he was in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
He drank
that
cup, and then it just all reset after that.
And Morgan Freeman was born 95 and hasn't aged.
So
it's amazing that we were able to get him at the ripe old age of 793 to do our voiceover for the Lost episode. So.
The time difference between Morgan Freeman's appearance in The Shawshank Redemption and his appearance in The Dark Knight was 14 years. The time difference between Sean Connery's appearance in Goldfinger and his appearance in The Last Crusade was 25 years. The time difference for Ethan Hawke's appearance in the Dead Poets Society and The Magnificent Seven was 27 years.
Wow.
And the time difference between John Ratzenberger's appearance in The Empire Strikes Back and Wall-E was 28 years.
Get out. No, it was kidding. Ratzenberger.
It was Ratzenberger. No,
I went
no
Hawk.
One got it right.
I was either Connery or Hawk. And knowing who I am, I went Connery.
Yep.
I said Morgan Freeman.
Right. I look at that movie and I'm like, oh, well, he went to prison in the 60s. And The Dark Knight was in modern times. So that's 60 years, right?
Right, yeah.
Right. Oh, no, that's not how that works.
I didn't realize that it was such a short gap.
The Shawshank Redemption was released in 2004.
No,
it was released in 1994, and The Dark Knight was released in 2008.
None
of those numbers involved 2004, but
1994 to 2008.
2004 was Sean Connery's last movie, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
He went out on a low note.
All right, gentlemen, we have two more questions. These kind of feed into each other. You'll see what I mean here in just a second. Question number 15.
Which Harry Potter movie is William's favorite?
No.
Prisoner of Azkaban.
The Rotten Tomato was a wonderful curveball in our tournament.
Mm.
Which of these movies actually has the highest combined Rotten Tomatoes score in our bracket? Was it Knives Out, The Empire Strikes Back, The Shawshank Redemption, The Dark Knight, or The Dead Poets Society?
Ooh.
Which one has, based on our rules for the Rotten Tomato, where we combine them and divide them by two, which one has the highest combined Rotten Tomato score? Knives Out, The Empire Strikes Back, The Dead Poets Society, Shawshank Redemption, or The Dark Knight? I will tell you, it was close. The answers have been locked in. Dallas, the Dead Poets Society has a combined average Rotten Tomato score of 88%.
No kidding.
Is that all?
Wow.
Yeah. Alex, Knives Out has a combined Rotten Tomato score of 94.5%.
Holy smokes.
The Dark Knight has a combined Rotten Tomato score of 94% even. Shawshank Redemption has a combined Rotten Tomato score of 94.5%. The winner with the highest Rotten Tomato score is The Empire Strikes Back, with a combined average of 95.5%.
Wow. I'm kind of floored by that, if I'm being honest.
Right? But, I mean, it won in our bracket. That was the movie that rose to the top. Listen, I see those eyes, and I prepped question number 16.
Uh-oh, you're waiting for that to come up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Alex, I saw the eyes roll back in your head when I said, oh, it makes sense because it won. And I prepped question, the final question, number 16, for this little scenario right here. The question actually reads, Alex likes to tout in our group chat that he does not trust Rotten Tomatoes for film reviews, and he prefers sites like IMDb or Metacritic.
I do.
You trust IMDb? Really?
So what I say is I trust a combination of, like what we did with Rotten Tomatoes, where we combined the user and the critic score. I take basically what the, if you hit the drop down on the critic score and see what the average critic score is, not what the freshness is, but the average critic score. That's
which is essentially what like Metacritic does.
Pretty much what Metacritic does. Because if you had 9 out of 10 critics give a score that's 6 or higher out of 10, then technically it's a 90% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, even though the average score critically is only 60%, which doesn't make sense, you know?
So the way that I generated this, critic score was a percentage, audience score was something out of 10. And so when you look at Metacritic, it'll give you like a something percent critics and then like a 9 out of 10 audience. So I converted the something out of 10 to a percentage on the audience side so that I could average them together. So if it was a 7.5, I made that 75% and then averaged that together. So which one of these movies scored higher than Tenet on
shouldn't be hard
Metacritic? Was it Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone?
I can see that.
What We Do in the Shadows?
I can see that.
James and the Giant Peach?
I can see that.
No, don't be James.
Or Hercules?
D, all of the above.
Which one of these four movies scored higher than Tenet on Metacritic? Okay, lock in your answers, gentlemen.
I am like 99.95% sure that my answer is correct.
I'm only saying this answer because if I'm right, this will be glorious.
Cody, you have said Hercules. You are correct, sir. This movie has a higher Metacritic score combined with audience score over Tenet.
I believe it.
Dallas, you said Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. You are correct, sir. This movie has a higher combined audience and critic score. Alex, you said What We Do in the Shadows. You are correct, sir. This movie has a higher combined Rotten Tomatoes score. And if anyone would have picked James and the Giant Peach, they would have also been correct and in having a higher critic and audience score than Tenet.
See, listeners, James and the Giant Peach is a great movie.
No,
objectively.
No. Oh my gosh. I remember when you had us watch What We Do in the Shadows, and I went through the IMDb ratings and the Rotten Tomato ratings, and it was all like, wow, what a breath of fresh air. We haven't seen a movie like this before. And I went, there's a reason they haven't made a movie like this before. This is horrible. And oh, Allie sat Alex, there and went, I'm never watching it again.
Oh, Alex, so What We Did in the Shadows has the highest.
Oh, I know. That's why I picked it.
All five of those.
I know. I know.
Tenet is not the best Nolan movie. It's the most Nolan movie.
For the record, Tenet is James Bond plus time travel. How you don't love it, I have no idea,
it's
Cody.
Not even fun that time is travel. He's not going to different locales. It's just rewinding.
Like, yeah, he's not going and hanging out with his mom at the dance under the sea.
Well, the winner of our movie bracket trivia is one Mr. Alex Christian. Congratulations, sir.
A consolation for losing everything else. Thank you. For my acceptance speech. Oh, I'm already being played out? Oh, okay. Thank you.
William, this was beautiful. Bravo, sir. This is
high. Oh, yeah. These were deep. So deep, I got none of them. Right.
You got two of them, Dallas. Don't be so hard on yourself.
I guess I got two out of 16. I feel like guessing should have gotten me higher.
One of those answers was all of them were correct.
All the answers were right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got the bonus that everybody got. I got the participation trophy.
Well, I've considered this like the little footnote, the little epilogue to what was already a wonderful movie bracket. And thank you for humoring my desire to infuse Harry Potter in everything
it
that I do.
It was wonderful. It was tastefully done.
Oh, yes.
It was elegantly woven. Just bravo, sir. Bravo.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. But if anyone listening has made it this far, let us know how you did. Hop into our Facebook group, The Pub. We've got a private Facebook group that is kind of hopping right now, and it's very exciting and fun to watch. Or connect with us on social.
I wonder what they're talking about. Could it be James and the Giant Peach, or could it be about the Dark Knight losing?
The Dark Knight.
They're not talking about Lincoln. No one cares about that movie. So who would care about that movie? No? Moving on.
Lincoln should have won.
I think the highest praise we got was when my father called me and said, I think I need to watch 12 Angry Men now. I've never seen it.
Okay.
And the way you all talked about it made me go, we need to watch that. So bravo to the three of you for bringing classy cultured picks amongst our ever so nerdy picks. So good job.
I would love to do one of these days an Aardman animation commentary.
Oh dear, no.
Well, I guess Alex is busy that day.
William had me at horror movie for 3-year-olds.
But anyways, gentlemen, I'm gonna head out of here. Thank you so much for humoring me on this acid trip that was a trivia round. I'll pick up the tab and I will see you guys next week. I'm William.
I'm Dallas.
I'm Cody.
I am the champion, my friends.
Okay, cut it off. Cut it off.
You know, I'm not even mad about it.
To the end. Ba, 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 ba. Yes. We are the champions.
Are you kidding? I'm working.
All right, I'll be right there.
And grab the movie. Go, 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 go.
Goodbye, mama. Goodbye. Goodbye.